You're listening to Hit Bull Win Podcast,
the official podcast of the Durham Bulls,
part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. What's up? How's it going? It's June. It is June. Time is a-flying. Crazy. This is Hit Bull Win Podcast, your favorite minor league baseball podcast. I am Patrick Norwood, digital and video production manager. Video and digital production manager. I can't even do my own anymore, dude.
You don't know your office phone number and
I'm really struggling. It's June, like it's I just said.
Back to day one.
He is Scott Ford Strickland, assistant general manager, operations. Scotty, how we doing?
Good. Not a financial supporter of the pod. However, we both are fresh off an outstanding Cushack lunch, which is redundant.
I feel like even though not a financial supporter of the podcast, we can't mention that enough.
Yep.
If they were, we'd be down. So Cushack, if you're listening, call us.
We'd be down and fatter.
Yep. And then two, more important than financially, morale.
Morale.
Right?
Yes.
Like it's a morale booster. So for they kind of sponsor us that way. But yeah, that was a great lunch. Shout out Leslie Martin. It's her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
If you listened to last week's episode, you heard from Leslie. If you watched Behind the Bulls, the feature that we did on Pat Stacks Phelan, that was really cool. I really miss doing features. He's a good dude. If you haven't seen it, go to our social at Durham Bulls on pretty much everything.
Hairy knuckle background.
Yep. And he was a great interview, but the next video in that series is going to be Leslie. So very excited about that. You guys who've listened probably already know most of the stuff that you're going to hear in there, but it'll still be cool, I think. Scott, we had a great ACC tournament. You and your crew did fantastic. I was here all week. I left Friday to go out of town, but it looked like everybody righted the ship. Shout out to everyone who is here. Brian Wilson down in the store, all the way up to yourself and Sasha and Cam especially and Leslie especially, Tyler Parsons, everybody who's here. Give yourselves a round of applause. Pat on the back. It really is like it's kind of like summer camp, right? Like after it ends, you guys are like, oh, that's it.
I have something embarrassing to admit.
Go on.
I admitted it to my immediate supervisor last night. It's got a couple different levels of embarrassment to it. I think you will chuckle. I needed to get something from my apartment yesterday at around 4:25.
Sure.
And so, as you know where I live, and I walked there, and I walked into my apartment, I grabbed the item, and I sat down on my bed. You might be able to see where this story is going.
You didn't do this.
The next thing I knew...
Oh, boy.
It was an hour and 15 minutes later, and I had missed Tartpool. So not only did I fall asleep during the workday at home, I fell asleep and missed a Tartpool. I woke up, and I didn't wake up. I came to, right? Like, oh, what time? Then I'll pull up the webcam because I saw out my window that it was raining.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, crap. So then I grabbed my rain jacket, which I originally wasn't going to get. So maybe this worked out okay.
Yeah.
And then ran down the hill, settled into some pregame stuff, and then was here for the tarp removal. But yeah, that's a long week. AC tournament's a long week.
Dude, that's tough. But I think, I think we had enough people. Mm-hmm. Barely enough.
Barely.
Barely enough. But we had enough. So I think you're fine there. And I also think I think you're allowed to miss one a year. So here's my thing. I want to work in a place where if I miss a tarp pull, no one is thinking, oh my gosh, why is he not here? I want them to be understanding. If you had told me yesterday, like you walked up to me last night, you're like, dude, I missed a tarp pull because I took a nap. I'd be like, you know what, man? Heck yeah. Good for you. I'm glad you took a nap. It's like Good Will Hunting. The best 5 minutes of my or 5 seconds of my day are from when I get out of my car when I walk to your door because I hope that you're just gone. You're not here. Like every time we go on tarp, I'm like, man, I kind of hope that the usual suspects aren't here right now.
Yeah.
You know, y'all pulled enough.
Yeah. No, it was a good week. We had a successful tournament. Little rough weather on Saturday and Sunday.
Yep.
Shout out to Cam for him and his team for navigating
an absolute warrior, dude.
All of that.
Yeah.
And then that rolled into Monday with our game,
mm-hmm.
And arguably actually even rolled into Tuesday and Wednesday a little bit as well. So hopefully, knock on wood here, we can have some forecasts can hold for this weekend, have some clear skies, sunny skies, and finish up this homestand strongly. And have a little break next week.
Yeah, for sure.
Leslie is, by the way, putting in first base.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That was on her birthday wish list.
Yeah, I don't really know. She kind of just goes by her own
beat
of her own drum a bit, I'd say, with that one. It was a great week. It looked like y'all had a good time. I was in Boston. I was at a festival. This is a story that has nothing to do with minor league baseball, but I thought it was such a cool story I wanted to tell it to you.
Okay.
We get there to see the Foo Fighters, my favorite band. We're front row on the rail. Okay. So we got there early. If I'm going to a concert, I am in the front. I'm too short. I can't be in the back. I can't be in the middle. Because especially at a show like that, if there's a mosh pit, I'm gone. That's it. I took an elbow to the temple when I was in high school one time and woke up.
That explains a lot.
So, yeah, right. It was the group that was supposed to go on before the Foo Fighters backed out. I think someone was sick or something. So there's just this blank space. We were like, what in the world? And then my wife, shout out Jade.
Shout out Jade.
My brother, Rob Norwood, shout out Rob. Definitely won't listen to this, but still shout out. They both start losing their minds. And I turn around. The reason they lost their minds is because up on the screen, Dropkick Murphys.
I thought you were going to say they were showing the ACC Baseball Championship.
So I saw Miami and Clemson. No. and so we saw shipping up to Boston live in Boston, front row.
Very cool.
It was pretty sweet. It's pretty sweet. So
very cool.
That's what I did. I did miss you guys, though. And there is always like a tinge of me that's like, oh, I should be there. Even though I have no responsibilities, I would not be able to help whatsoever other than tarp pulls. I was like, I shouldn't be gone right now. Like, it just doesn't feel good. But it's okay. You have to. You've got to set those boundaries.
It's a weird week, too, because you, unlike our games where you're building up to the event over the course of the entire day and you're going up and making sure your group is sold correctly and picnic area is done correctly, or the food and beverage is rolling out properly, or
the
parking right cones
of,
are set up.
The right amount of people in each place.
Correct. Yeah. Little details. The ACC is a weird day because you work your tail off for like an hour and a half for pregame.
Right.
And then you sit there for 2 hours, or in some cases 3 hours,
and
waiting for that game to end to do it all over again for the next game. And then you do it again for the third game of the day. I think the conference did a really good job of deciding how to handle Saturday for all the local baseball fans who kept up with what happened with the two simultaneous semifinal games happening here and over in Chapel Hill at the same time, which is what simultaneous means. I thought those were good decisions, and teams really enjoy coming here. I think that's a testament to our fans, this ballpark, and this community. There's some places they could go that it's just another event that's going on in town, and here they get a little bit of that Southern hospitality, and they love the ballpark, they love the proximity of the hotels, and our staff, especially Cam, do a really, really great job of hosting those individuals. And there's a difference between, sure, you can play here versus, no, we want you to play here.
Yeah.
And those coaches report that each and every year. So fun event, but glad to also have it in the rearview mirror and get ready for the rest of our season.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? We're going to go over the homestand. I'm going to wait till after the break, though.
Okay.
So we'll be right back. Stay tuned. All right, it's been a fun week, Bulls-wise, just on the field. We had a little bit of a weird thing. We played Monday, Memorial Day. That was great. Everybody had a good time. Earlier start, which I liked. I like the 5 o'clock. That's like a sweet spot, 5:30, 5 o'clock start. We had that again later in the week with a doubleheader.
Mm.
On Wednesday, we had Tuesday off because we played Monday. The doubleheader was great. The second game were the away team, which is awkward.
Weird.
It feels really weird, and you forget the amount of things that have to change when that happens. Even something as small as flipping
plates.
The teams on the Blue Monster board, on the manual scoreboard, and then our stats computer, that's a hard thing to try and reprogram.
Huh.
And not actually, in my opinion, not worth it. I think people will look up and understand, oh, Jacksonville's actually pitching right now.
Yep.
The Durham logo doesn't need to be there. Yep. That's just something that, to reprogram that, takes about 20 minutes. And no. I feel like for 7 innings, it's okay if you don't. But the other weird part of that was we took a lead in the 9th, which normally
and kept playing.
Is all-star footage for me. That is cream of the crop. I've talked about that a lot on this podcast. It's my favorite thing to shoot. Yep. And it was still great.
You should have run out there.
It was lovely. But it was also just kind of awkward because, like, everybody cheered, and then normally everyone would go home and we do star of the game, and that just didn't happen. We just played another half inning and, you know, three outs, and then we went home.
Appreciate
but it was just a little awkward. So I was very glad then that last night, that would have been Thursday if you're listening to this recording on Friday, probably posting on Friday too. I would say Ben Gamel, pretty good reaction
pretty good
to his
reaction.
Walk-off. Yeah.
Okay. Like, I haven't watched
it. He's just got away about him. I think he's just been a part of it for so long that he knows the correct amount of hype to get without getting over. Okay. What I don't like is I see a guy walk off and it's like April, and they're like losing it. Yeah, right. Like, yeah, have a good time, dunk the water, sure, but don't. I mean, let's keep it.
So Andrew Green is having some fun with the complete game shutout, which
yes.
is redundant.
That was
we had the Bulls had a pitcher throw a seven-inning shutout, which for that one was a complete game. And so yesterday he was going around asking the old folk, when was the last time that happened? And I guessed J.D. Martin because he threw a lot of complete games. It was not J.D. And then go ahead.
I guessed Price.
Okay.
Which I felt like was
Burling guessed Price as well.
Okay.
Bob Sutton. Friend of just the Bulls
everybody. Dude. Everybody.
He guessed J.D. Martin
yeah.
as well.
Okay.
And then my second guess was apparently the correct guess,
yeah.
Which was Mitch Talbot. And that's where the story, in my opinion, gets more interesting.
Agreed.
And that game, Andrew says, hey, where did that happen? Now, Burling had a better guess than I did. Obviously, if he's asking that, it didn't happen here.
Right.
So Burling then said the DAP, which
didn't happen here. That's a great guess.
But it happened here.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
It was not here. Now Leslie's setting up. Apparently she's setting up batting practice as a part of her birthday wish. Anyway, it happened when the International League was still the International League. And it happened in Ottawa. And he could not find due to some clerical issues with drives and stuff.
It just doesn't go back
It doesn't
far.
Go back far enough.
Yeah.
We do not know when the last time was one of our pitchers threw a seven-inning shutout on American soil.
Right.
And
right.
I just think that's hilarious.
He told me that yesterday. I doubled over. We need to have Greeny on the pod soon.
Yeah. We should get Mitch. We need to get a former, a long time ago player on the pod.
Oh, that'd be good.
We had Ruggiano during COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that'd be good.
Yeah, we can get one of those guys.
I think that'd be
here.
Good. Okay, so we're gonna pivot a little bit. I have an announcement I've saved to tell you because I'm really excited about this.
Okay.
I feel like Hitbull When Pod has evolved a good bit from the first days of Hitbull When Pod through COVID.
78 episodes ago?
Really close. 52 is what we've had now.
Okay.
I think.
What was I thinking of 75?
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's anyway. Really close.
I wonder what something's in my head from 75th.
We just eclipsed the 50 mark.
Okay.
Maybe that was it.
Ah, it was Durham Sports Commission.
Yeah, that's the same as this podcast.
Yeah,
anyway.
75th board meeting. I'm totally on topic right now.
ACC was last week.
That's true.
But I think since it's evolved, we've gotten our listenership has evolved a little bit, and now we've got a really core group of people that listen to the pod regularly.
Okay.
And that core group is growing. But I feel like it's people that come to the ballpark that are in the area or that know us.
In the ecosystem.
So here's what I'm going to suggest, and we're going to try this on a trial basis, but I like it. We were going to have a guest today. That guest had something come up. That happens to us.
It happens.
Once every two times we try and get someone on the pod. And sometimes it just throws the wheels completely off the podcast. Now, I've checked this with everybody I need to check it with.
Okay.
We're going to start doing a call-in section
on
the pod on days like this when we have somebody call out, they can't do it.
Okay.
The number, if you want to leave us a voicemail, is 919-687-6573. Again, that's 919-687-6573. You can call that number, leave a voicemail. If it's appropriate, it will be on the podcast.
Okay.
Especially if it's a good question or a comment or a, hey, tell me about what happened the other night when XYZ happened. And if you leave us a voicemail and I think it's appropriate, I will leave a chunk of time at every podcast. We can play it. We'll be able to listen to it on the pod. and we'll be able to answer your questions. I think it's a little bit more
interactive.
If we're really trying to get more personal with our crowd, I think it's a good way to go. Now, if we get a bunch of loopy stuff, it's done.
Yeah.
That's it. And I will scrub this part of the episode and re-upload it, and that'll be
It'll never happen.
But yeah, no, it'll totally be sane stuff that we hear all the time. But we've just got such a good group of people. I mean, still, once a homestand, I have people stop me. Now, granted, I think half of them just see my face up on the video board and your face. And
especially
like,
if we have a rain delay or something.
They're like, oh, hey, how's or the podcast? Doubleheader. But I have had several people stop us and just been like, hey, listen all the time.
Yeah.
Really appreciate you. You make my ride home easier. You know, whatever it is. That means a lot to us. So,
yeah
again, 919-687-6573. You can reach out to us there. You can email me at pnorwood@durhambulls.com if you feel more comfortable that way. But I just want to leave this as an open connection. I'll plug it once an episode. If we get calls, great. If not, whatever. It's fine. The pod will go on. We've learned that multiple times. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to bring up with you.
Is that what you were going to tell me at Q-Shack?
Yeah. But then I also wanted to surprise everybody at the table.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't want, you know, I don't want somebody
they
going home.
They could be callers.
Right. Right. You know. So, yeah. I think that'll be a good segment. We've also been challenged by General Manager Tyler Parsons to do a film review. He liked that episode. Actually, a lot of people liked that episode.
Which is interesting because, granted, that one had to do with baseball. Different. But...
Oh no, I'm talking about
Top Gun.
Top Gun.
Yeah, but we were attaching it to our Top Gun night.
Yes, right. And but I've gotten more compliments on that episode than a lot of them.
So is he wanting us to just do a random movie that has nothing to do with baseball?
I can't wait for you to hear what movie it is, and I'm so excited to get to tell you.
Have I seen it?
Oh baby, it's Point Break.
Oh wow.
So at some point, I don't know when we're gonna do it. We will be doing a Point Break episode. I need to go.
To me, that's bigger breaking news than the
I know.
But that's okay.
I need to go rewatch Point Break because I think the last time I saw it, I was a freshman in college, which is a long, long time ago.
My oldest brother, not his vibe. Movie
Shocked.
Quotes and things like that, other than like Christmas Vacation and the basic stuff.
Sure.
Which I would probably put Point Break in my basic movie quote list type elements.
Yep.
Anyway, what I'm trying to work towards is... The other brother, I'm frequently at their house or with them for dinner,
right?
Or lunch. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big breakfast guy.
Me either.
So it's lunch or dinner.
Sure.
And I will often try to help the kids. Hey, I would like seconds. Hey, I would like whatever. And pretty much whenever that moment happens and I get up, my brother immediately says, alters the quote a little bit, says, Scotty, give me two. Point Break, I would imagine that is the most frequently quoted scene from that movie of Gimme Two, which is a great part of the movie as a chase ensues after that.
I
love the movie.
I'm going to challenge you right now, and this is gonna irk you so bad, but I can't wait.
Are you going to rip on the penny of that?
I don't know. I'm not going to be dishonest, man. I'm just not going to do it, especially not on Hipple Wind Pod, my passion project.
The people deserve
my baby.
Honesty.
Yeah. No, I think Point Break is one of those movies you take.
What
it,
is her name?
You take it for what it is.
What is her character name?
Again, freshman in college. But I will challenge
you. I'm just going to call her Penny.
I will challenge you to search deeper down into the film. What is it you actually like about it? Why do you like it? Is it the writing?
Tyler. Tyler.
Yeah.
Lori Petty is the actress's name.
Lori Petty. What else? She and maybe we just do this on the podcast. Hipple Wind Pod just
Roach.
A movie podcast.
I mean, first off, let's just go. Here's one thing I love.
Yeah, okay.
The character names.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Utah. Bodie.
You know what I just realized? Hold on. Have you seen Dune?
No.
I know that's a weird question, but you would actually like it. It's a good movie. You should go see it.
Yeah. Are you just kind of said it's a good movie as if you're implying Point Break isn't a good movie.
No, I'm just telling you it's a good movie because I think you would look at it and say, I'm not going to go see that. That's a bad movie.
Okay.
Because you don't strike me as a big sci-fi guy.
No.
But you would like this, I promise. Dune's great. But like the main...
D-U-N-E?
Yes.
Dune?
Got it. Yeah. Written on a... You know, it was a book written in the 50s, 60s, and then became a movie in the 80s and a better movie 2 years ago. I watched it the night that the Braves clinched the World Series. So, the more you know.
I was playing Twisted Metal.
But they have a great game.
Yeah.
They have a warrior in that. Big dude. It's Jason Momoa in the movie, so you can imagine. Named Duncan Idaho. I feel like he and Johnny Utah
would have run pals.
A heck of a middle linebacking core at some Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Kentucky type school. Johnny Utah in Tunction, Idaho.
Johnny Utah, Bodie, RIP.
Sure.
Tyler.
Yep.
A cool name for a female, in my opinion.
Sure.
Roach, Tone, Grommet.
This is kind of like a Great Value American Gladiator names.
We might be like naming grounds crew parts right here. Ben Harp.
Yep.
Warchild.
That's like Mad Max.
Bunker. Freight Train. Rosie Alvarez. There's one person named 15 in it. Yeah.
The cast is also super funny. Like the amount of people that were in that movie is just awesome.
It's outstanding.
I've gotten into a lot of IMDb click holes across the last 2-3 years, and we were having a time with it the other day. We really were. We were going over Kevin Costner's run, bringing it back to the Durham Bulls. Watch me work. The run he had from basically like 85 to 95, yeah. 96 if you include 10 Cup, which I don't because it's a terrible movie.
Oh, Crystal Rowell's favorite movie.
I need to clarify this. Golf? Sports? Costner movie?
No, Costner.
There it is. You're doing great.
Yeah.
ACC was last week. I watch 10 Cup so much at Golf Channel, I don't care if I ever see it again. That, The Legend of Bagger Vance, and Caddyshack. Look, man, Caddyshack's a great movie. No one's denying that. You watch it once every 2 weeks, and yeah, its entirety.
Anything will get old at that point.
It gets pretty old.
Yeah.
Dancing Groundhog looks like... looks like a monster at the end of that. So anyway, back to our original discussion on this minor league baseball podcast. We will have that
movie Point Break. Yes.
We will have that number. It's 919-687-6573. Give me a call, and we'll get you on the pod. Be looking out for the Andrew Green pod. Be looking out for the player pod, TBD. Player to be named later. The original title for Bull Durham, by the way. And then, a voicemail pod of the future and the Point Break pod.
I think we should give a shout out to... the 8 North Carolina teams, colleges that are in the NCAA tournament.
That's huge.
That's North Carolina is the home of baseball, right?
Yeah.
And that is further evidence of that. Shout out to our Duke Blue Devils. Shout out to NC State. Shout out to our UNC Tar Heels.
Roll Humps, baby. Go Campbell.
Campbell. Wish they would have been hosting. Friend of the podcast. Coach here, his wife used to work here, the Durham Bulls.
I did not know that.
Yeah, got the Demon Deacons, number one team in the country, number one seed. It's going to be a fun couple of weeks here with some NCAA tournament stuff. Pirates, ECU, yep. Rocking and rolling.
When I worked at High Point, Campbell and High Point, it was a big baseball. I won't say rivalry. They were big games. They were always 1-2, 2-3. 1-3, it was always top three team contest when I was at High Point. And the Campbell guys were just awesome. Everyone who worked in that office was just super nice, super friendly. Shout out Evan Buttervich, announcer. And
tough to be in Buies Creek and it is. Not be just a good old person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. He was just, but they were just super nice. Every time I was there, they were super nice. So shout out those dudes. Shout out Campbell.
Speaking
and
of
the
super nice,
teams, obviously.
Robert Woodard, who used to be assistant coach at UNC, is... over at Charlotte and got his club in a regional as well.
Yeah,
so
it's huge.
Lots to be excited for baseball wise in the Triangle and North Carolina.
A little bit of a sidetrack. Tulane getting in with 19 wins. How do you feel about that?
Yep. I don't know. Someone with 40 losses shouldn't be in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
But I like the excitement that generated. So I don't know. I'm talking out both ends of my mouth on that.
Yeah. Sure. All right. Well, hey, we're going to be back. We got a question in our DMs that I want to answer and sort of talk about with you right after this.
Okay.
All right. Last little bit here. Good friend of the pod, Patrick. Not me, Patrick. Different Patrick. Sent in a good question. He said, finally catching up with the pod. Know you're in the midst of a long doubleheader. This was obviously the other night. But I'd love to hear on the pod about the installation of the ABS and how it works. I figured you could take this one and we could sort of discuss it a little bit.
Yeah, we could get in the weeds on this one. I think people would want to hear elements of that, so let me dabble in it for a second. But there's okay. literally a room in the ballpark that has a bunch of servers in it,
mm-hmm.
and we have jokingly wanted to call that the umpire room. But there, let's start with that, the infrastructure itself. There is a very large rack of servers in one room of the ballpark, and that then feeds up into the press box and feeds into a plethora of cameras that are located around the playing field. Once those were installed and dialed in, a calibration process had to happen where Cameron had to have the field set up as if it were a game.
Yep.
And no equipment could be out there. No, nobody could be out there. And they put these little stars, little rectangles, little pieces of something over a course of the entire field, and they calibrated the camera system. And then I guess we have to include Mondays in this. We're obviously kind of jumping out of the weeds of the infrastructure and into actually how it works.
Yeah.
Monday through Thursday is a full automatic computer calling the balls and strikes. And so the umpire, home plate umpire, has an earpiece in his or her ear. And immediately, and I really can't describe it other than that. I think that's where a lot of people are asking questions is, well, how quickly does this happen? Immediately. It tells him or her whether it's a ball or strike. And he makes that.
Do you know, is it a tone? Is
I don't.
It a word? Because I would really be interested to hear if it's like a robot going, strike.
Strike, yeah.
Like, whose voice did they get?
Let me ask our boy John Bacon, who's in town right now. I'll ask him that tonight. And,
cool.
And report back on our next
please
episode.
Do. Yeah.
And then over the weekend, it is a challenge system, which, and here's where it gets fun here, is the only people who can challenge are the catcher, pitcher, or the batter. It cannot come from the dugout. So, for example, what you've used to seeing in sport last, you know, what, decade now of a head coach, you know, or at least in the baseball world right now, doing the hands to the ears.
Yeah.
That cannot happen. In fact, if that does happen, you can't challenge.
Yeah.
It's, and so there have been some issues. Imagine you're a right-handed batter and your dugout is the first base dugout and the pitch is caught by the catcher. I mean, just watch TV. What does the batter do? He lifts his head up.
Yep.
And so there have been times where the umpire has thought that batter was looking up. And when that batter looks up, who's he going to be looking at?
Yeah.
He's looking at his dugout.
Dugout.
So there have been some issues there that they've worked through. But each team is allowed 7 challenges. If you don't get it correct, gone. Bye. You lose it. And so at that point, an animation goes up on the video board. There's a gentleman in the press box that essentially presses a couple buttons, and the pitch track animation goes on the screen. We had a really good example of that on Star Wars night when we had that 5-run comeback or 6-run comeback that the crowd enjoys. And you see if it was a ball or strike. I think what was interesting, I might have my math incorrect here, but I believe on that night one, 6 of the 7 challenges, the umpire was correct.
Mm-hmm.
And a similar number the next night, just a similar percentage,
but
fewer challenges. I hope and I would expect that will continue to be a thing where players start to see, you know what, these guys are actually better than we thought they were, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've got a better idea of the strike zone than I do.
Absolutely.
And challenge fewer games or fewer pitches. But it's going really well. I think everyone is definitely seeing that. At the end of this year, people will strongly prefer the challenge system over the fully automatic.
I think so, too.
There are a lot of unique elements from that people have strong feelings on. For example, a catcher, even the umpires, think that maybe they are not as locked in when they're waiting for the computer to make a call.
Interesting.
And I would argue, I don't know if they're probably not listening to this podcast, however, we had a questionable fair foul home run a couple homestands ago.
I remember.
3-person umpiring crew with the third base umpire due to the situation of the game being at second base.
Right.
And I feel like that was a Tuesday night. I feel like the home plate umpire had to like wake up. Oh, shoot. I've got to make this call. This is my call. Because he was waiting for a ball strike to be told into his ear. And I think that factored into him getting what I think we all agree was the incorrect call on the fair foul.
Yeah.
But that has permeated through other areas of the game is my point. And whereas the challenge system, you're playing it live, so
yeah,
to speak.
You're still
correct.
I think my two things that I want to bring up with it. A little side note, by the way, because you just brought up Star Wars Night. 2 years in a row, the Durham Bulls have walked off on both Pride and Star Wars Night.
Hmm.
Interesting.
But good for next year.
Yep. Good place to get your tickets, durhambulls.com/tickets. What I have enjoyed seeing, this is a little bit of like Schadenfreude almost, but there's no one to complain to anymore.
Yeah.
Like a batter like thinks like, oh, that was outside. And you see them start to look at the umpire like, and the umpire's like, I don't know what you want me to do about it, dude. I'm just doing what it tells me. There have been a lot of Major League Baseball players that have come back from rehab saying, I do not like the ABS system, vehemently against it. A lot of our folks down here, I think, like you said, prefer the challenge system more. But I haven't heard anything super negative towards ABS, which is good, you know. Personally, from a fan's perspective, I don't know.
Yep.
It helps speed up the game a bit. Personally, for me, I think 7's a bit much.
Yeah.
I think 7's a bit much because I feel like this should be something where it's like you need this call to. If you're doing it in the first three innings, it's chop. That's a chop move. Like unless it's like a game seven of the
game
World Series.
One of 150
right,
for the year.
Right, dude. Like, come on, man. Come on. I just feel like that's too much. But you know, I really do like it. I think it's an interesting wrinkle to the game. I think baseball is one of the sports that's changed the least across the last, let's say, 100 years. I think it's time some things change.
I don't want to go off the rails too much here.
Oh boy.
However, this factors in a little bit to my favorite book read over the last 4 or 5 years,
mm-hmm.
which is Crisis of Responsibility, with a subtitle of Our Cultural Addiction to Blame.
Ooh.
I feel like as a society, we've gotten to a point where everything just has to be perfect. There can be no errors. There can be no wrong. Everyone has to be perfect. And if something does go wrong, then who can I blame? Gosh darn it, you've got to be held responsible for the hot dog not being perfectly cooked just right.
Yeah.
Right? It's the end of the world.
Sure.
And bringing this on topic and back on the rails, it was interesting for the few Duke games that we had here after our season started and ABS was running, that there was much more back and forth between head coach at their level and home plate umpire bickering back and forth. I like that. I like watching that.
There's something
like
about the tension
to it.
Right.
It's a little bit different with the Duke games because we know those individuals really, really well, as opposed to going to a Pittsburgh versus Minnesota game and you're up in the 200 level watching it. I want there to be some error in it. I'm not saying I want Game 7 of the NBA Finals to be decided by a blown call,
right?
Which is a little bit where you were going. But this is clearly where this is all going, and I'm just putting on the record to our listeners that I will miss and already am missing the back and forth between a dugout and a home plate umpire on the strike zone.
Yeah,
I think it's a part of the drama of going to a game, and I want a little error in life. I don't want everything to be perfect.
Right. Sometimes there needs to be a,
a heel,
crap happens,
yeah,
right? A little crap happens action, you know? Sometimes things just aren't people's fault.
Yep.
And I think that's, you're right. That is something that you'll miss. And I think that personal relationship you have with the coaching staff, maybe you know both the umpire and the manager.
Correct.
And you like both of them very much, and they get in an argument, and then you feel awkward.
You're like, ooh, I know that umpire doesn't like that coach.
It's like when you're,
or vice versa.
Like two of your friends get in a fight, and you're like, oh, I don't want to be here right now. Like, that's kind of how it feels. But, like, yeah, there is something about the human error aspect of it, and I feel like you do miss that. And there is something, you know, deep down, like, this is a way weird place to take this, but, like, Romans watch gladiators fight, right? There's a reason. You want that tension. You want that. There's a reason people love hockey so much.
Yep.
And that hockey has such like an adoration is because it's just like, you know what? Fight. Go for it.
I was going with it with wrestling.
That tension. And I, but again,
there's a heel. Heels get crowd reactions.
Neither of us are saying that we want to see baseball fist fights. We're not saying that we want umpires and managers screaming at each other every pitch.
Yep.
There's just something about that little added tension that I think, I think you'll miss. What's going to be interesting is kids that are like growing up now, they're never going to know that happened.
Right.
Right. Like they'll see video of it. They're not dumb. But
compared to rolling up the windows. when someone says roll out the windows, they probably have no idea what we're talking
about. So here's something interesting about that, because it's a similar motion. I was shooting someone on camera. I've had to start saying on camera because I'm starting to get looks when I say shooting someone. Shooting someone on camera last night, and this happens to me a lot. Because of the way that my camera looks, they all assume it is I'm taking a photo. Okay. And so they'll just, sit there and pose, which, by the way, looks super creepy on video. Okay. Especially, it doesn't look creepy if they're staring at someone else. If there's a pose picture and you're just kind of there and they're looking at the camera on the other side of the field, that's different. If they're looking directly at the camera, that is bone chilling, right? Mm-hmm. So what I've started doing, why does this... Right. So the motion that I'm doing is the cranking. Imagine you're cranking a window up. It's just upright. That's what they did to film in the 1910s and 20s. We haven't used cameras like that ever. But that is a universal symbol for I am videoing. I'm videoing. Something. And I think that's going to go away within the next 20 years because I don't think people are going to realize that. But yeah, you're right. The rolling up the window thing where you just put your arm down and sort of I don't know if some of our staff
they don't even
would
make cars
that.
Like that anymore.
Like, what do you motion for now?
Yep.
Just a little clicker.
Yep.
It's weird. It's weird. Anyway, that's Hipple Win Pod. Thanks for listening to our minor league baseball podcast. We've got a lot of ideas. We came out of this podcast with a lot of ideas for future episodes. Again, that number is, 919-687-6573. Did it first try.
You didn't even have to consult your
919-687-6573. Leave me a voicemail. Let us know what you think of the pod.
Another fun element of this is, Outlook will translate well. Attempt to translate, which is the point of my story.
That's a dynamite.
That's going to be fun reading the transcript and then actually listening to it.
The Adobe Premiere, my editing software, has now got, because one of the biggest pains used to be captioning. So you'd have to sit there and listen a little bit, type it out, make sure you didn't have a typo, sit there, listen a little bit, go back, type it. It now has sort of an auto transcript thing. And it's really
pretty good.
The Pride Night video, I had to make like two or three corrections on like people's names. Natasha Robinson, it just kind of, was like, and kind of tried and that was it. But I'd much rather go through and just edit little things like
what's
that
already there
rather than draw a text box, type the text, that's too much of a pain. But there are some videos, the Pat Stacks feature, go to at Durham Bulls if you want to see that on Facebook or Twitter.
Did it do like parentheses emotion in
it,
parentheses
it, no it doesn't do it it's not that, which would be awesome. But no, he said a lot of stuff. Final strikeout of the 2002 championship, Rich Crocher.
I'd something. Heard that name before.
That's a name that I know because I've heard the call, but I don't know. Sorry Rich, if you listen to the pod. Adobe just ruined it. And then I think it just got so off the rails from there that I was like, oh, I have so much to fix here. But yeah, that's just a little insight on typing captions and everything. Shout out to the other videographers of the world that need to do that. Listening in a couple weeks. It could be Point Break. It could be a Bulls player.
I'm definitely going to watch it over next week.
It could
next
be
week.
Andrew Green. It could be a voicemail episode. Just let us know.
Wonder if we could get one of the Point Break stars to leave us a voicemail.
I think you should get on that for sure.
What's my budget? Because these would be personal
dollars.
How is
that a me question?
These would be personal dollars.
I told a group of people that I am with outside of the baseball field one time, if I am a part of a budgeting discussion, something has gone terribly wrong.
I just submitted a questionable expense, by the way.
Cushack?
No, it's $300.
Oh, okay. But it's like you're sweating the 300?
I'm sweating the 300 because that's not a low number. It's not high. It's not like, oh my gosh, but it's not.
It's not, don't worry about it.
It's not $75
it's
or
$60.
$50.
Yeah, hey,
and
I had to pick this up.
Essentially, it was
Amazon.
A prank, an office morale booster. And I definitely submitted it.
Oh,
I'm expecting some feedback from it.
I think I'm going to start telling Jade, hey, I did something at the house. I'm expecting some feedback on it later. That's a good line. All right. Hey, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again in a couple weeks. Bye-bye.